Good day, and welcome everyone to the Royal London Interim Financial Results 2020 conference call hosted by Daniel Cazzo. My name is Karen, and I'm your event operator. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded for replay purposes. Now I'd like to hand over to Daniel, Group Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Daniel Cazzo, and as said, I'm the Group Chief Financial Officer for Royal London. I'm joined this morning by Lesley Mitchell, Group Financial Controller, Shawn Cooper, Group Chief Actuary, Anthony Lee, Group Head of Actuarial Reporting, and Tom Moore, Group Treasurer. This morning, we issued our 2020 interim results announcement in a press release and stock exchange announcement. Throughout this call, I am going to refer to the presentation distributed via email earlier today to those of you who pre-registered. This presentation and a copy of our 2020 interim results announcement are also available on our website. It will be no surprise that our main area of focus over the first half of the year has been how we can best support our customers and advisors through the challenges associated with COVID-19. I'll start by giving you a quick overview of our response to COVID-19, then give you a quick reminder of the changes we have made to our reporting basis for 2020 before going through the half-year financial highlights for the group. Starting on slide three, our focus in the first half of the year, as I said, has been on maintaining our service to customers and advisors, ensuring they continue to receive the personal service that they expect. While we transitioned to home working, there was minimal disruption to service delivery. We took early action to accelerate investment in our digital infrastructure so that we prepared for lockdown. As a result, we were able to transition 98% of staff to home working within 6 days. We have therefore continued our normal service levels, and we have done this without taking any government financial support. This includes our telephone lines, which have been open throughout, allowing our customers to contact us as normal. In order to do this, our day-to-day operational priority has been the health and well-being of our colleagues. Since lockdown, we have launched support guides and resources for our colleagues and people managers for topics such as tips for healthy working and working from home. Mental health is incredibly important, and we continue to provide colleagues with access to a free and confidential health service. To help our customers maintain cover, we have made some temporary changes to our products, including offering a premium holiday to customers experiencing financial difficulty, which allowed them to defer payments for a period whilst maintaining protection cover. We also increased non-medical underwriting limits on protection policies so that more customers could obtain protection without medical advice. This has the added benefit of avoiding an additional burden on the NHS. We also continue to pay claims. In the first half, we have made payments to the families of more than 1,200 customers whose results are deaths attributable to COVID-19. Now, before I move on to the key financial highlights, I would like to cover the changes to our reporting basis. Slide four provides an overview of these changes. The group has previously communicated that it would discontinue reporting under a European Embedded Value, consistent with most U.K. insurers. In addition, the group has changed its statutory reporting basis from IFRS to U.K. GAAP, with effect from January 1, 2020. We consider that U.K. GAAP provides a more meaningful reporting basis for Mutual. Accordingly, these interim results are prepared in accordance with the U.K. GAAP for the first time. Our core capital reporting basis under Solvency II is unchanged. To facilitate comparison of the group's performance, we have historically presented EEV operating profit as our key performance metric. Going forward, we are replacing this with U.K. GAAP operating profit before tax. A full explanation of the change in basis can be found in this morning's release, but I will take you through the key changes now. The restated U.K. GAAP operating profit before tax for the 12 months to 31 December 2019 was 165 million pounds. This compares with the previously reported EEV operating profit of 416 million pounds. Going through the key differences, firstly, our asset management business was reported on an embedded value basis previously. This effectively capitalized the expected future profits arising from this business. Under U.K. GAAP, we will report the results of our asset management business as the profits are earned. Under EEV, provisions were recognized for future strategic development costs in advance, whereas under U.K. GAAP, these costs are expenses incurred. In 2019, this resulted in a charge of £92 million on a UK GAAP basis for costs incurred in 2019 that had been provisioned or under EB in previous years. Both of these items do not reflect a change in the overall profitability of the group, rather the timing of when the profit is recognised. We then have some valuation differences, the most significant of which is the removal of a notional tax gross-up, which was previously made to increase comparability with non-mutual entities under EB. This has been removed under UK GAAP. And finally, we have now chosen to present the cost of financing our external debt instruments as part of operating profit. This is a presentational change only and aligns more closely with the approach adopted by our listed peers. Whilst our performance as reported under UK GAAP in 2019 is lower than under EV, the fundamentals of the reporting under UK GAAP are not significantly different to our previous statutory reporting basis, IFRS. There is no change to the underlying performance of the group. Slide 5 sets out the key financial highlights of the half year. Going through each of them in turn, UK GAAP operating profit before tax reduced to £36 million in the first half of 2020, from £90 million in the first half of last year. This decrease is primarily driven by a reduction in new business volumes, as well as increased investment in digital infrastructure. We have not experienced any material adverse experience in the first half of the year. We have, though, recognised an additional £10 million to allow for potential claims in the future as a result of COVID-19. The 2020 result also includes higher external debt costs following the new debt we raised in October last year. The loss before tax of £181 million reflects lower investment returns following the market falls in the first half of the year, as well as a reduction in the discount rates used to value long-term business provisions as interest rates have fallen, which has led to higher liability valuations. Life and pensions new business sales on a present value of new business premiums basis decreased by 18% to £4.7 billion, reflecting difficult trading conditions experienced during lockdown in the second quarter. This was partially offset by increased intermediated protection new business sales, which increased 15% in the first half of the year, partly as a result of the pandemic, reminding customers of the importance of life insurance, critical illness, and income protection. Net fund inflows were £997 million, as strong internal flows and growth in demand for sustainable funds were partially offset by external institutional outflows, particularly in segregated fixed income and cash funds. Assets under management remained stable at £139 billion at 30 June 2020, with net inflows being offset by adverse market movements. Our capital position remains strong. The group investor view, which now aligns with the capital position of the Royal London Main Fund, had a capital cover ratio of 212% at 30 June 2020. The regulatory capital cover ratio was 149%. Turning to slide 6, which outlines our new business results in more detail. Life and pensions new business sales on a PVNBP basis decreased 18% to £4.7 billion, reflecting reduced sales volumes and contracting markets, particularly within pensions. This was offset by intermediated protection new business sales, which, as I said, increased 15% in the first half. Life and pensions new business margins decreased to 2% from 2.2% in the first half of 2019, primarily reflecting a change in mix of pensions new business sales from individual to workplace. With lower new business levels during this period of uncertainty, we continue to take actions across the business to manage costs. Pensions new business sales reduced 21% to £4.1 billion, driven by both individual and workplace. Individual pensions new business sales decreased 18% to £2.7 billion, mainly due to the impact of reduced new business volumes as individuals delayed investment decisions. Workplace pensions new business sales reduced by 25% to £1.4 billion, whilst the total volume of new regular contributions in the first half of 2020 are comparable to those of the previous period, the level of transfer activity was reduced. New scheme activity is now increasing as the economy slowly progresses out of lockdown. Intermediated protection new business sales increased by 15% to £407 million. This increase reflects our continued investment in product proposition and service delivery, and more customers seeking financial protection as a result of the pandemic. The new business contribution from our protection business in Ireland decreased to £5 million as the market contracted following COVID-19 restrictions. Despite the reduction in sales volumes, PVNBP of £63 million compares well to 2019, benefiting from a high proportion of sales of longer-term products. Consumer new business sales have been negatively impacted by the pandemic, with both direct and partner sales slowing in the second quarter of the year. New business sales were down 28% to £174 million, with new business margin reduced to a negative 2% as a result of lower volumes. Action has been taken to improve profitability of new business in the second half through a review of our propositions and costs, which has also included changes to our core products. Slide 7 provides more detail on gross and net flows. Despite the volatile investment markets, assets under management remain stable at £139 billion, with net inflows of £997 million, offset by adverse market movements of £492 million. Gross inflows increased to over £14.4 billion in the first half of the year, from £12.6 billion in the first half of 2019. Despite the rise in gross inflows, net inflows reduced from £5.5 billion to £1 billion. This decrease was driven by institutional outflows of £1.9 billion, partly mitigated by the sustainable fund range in the wholesale sector performing well, generating £1.3 billion of net inflows. These flows followed the delivery of strong fund sales in Q2, resulting in achieving top position for net retail sales in the Pridham report, an important barometer of success among asset managers. 82% of Ireland's actively managed OEICs performed above their respective medians over a three-year period on a money-weighted basis, helping Ireland win a number of industry awards during the first half of 2020, with the sustainable fund range continuing to receive plaudits. Finally, we move to an overview of the group's capital position, starting on slide 8. Maintaining a strong capital position to support our business going forward is a key priority for Royal London. The group's use of equity and interest rate hedging strategies has operated as intended and has allowed the group to maintain its strong capital position despite the market turmoil during the first half of the year. Please note that we have changed the investor view capital cover ratio metric to equal the Royal London main fund capital position, excluding closed funds. We consider that this definition is a more useful metric for investors, given that closed funds are ring-fenced and are run on a standalone basis. This revised metric is also more comparable with the approach taken by some of our peers. On a partial internal model basis, the group's estimated investor view solvency surplus was £2.5 billion at 30th of June and represented a capital cover ratio of 212%. This compares to a ratio at 31 December 2019 of 219%. And to reassure you, on the previous basis, the investor ratio at the end of 2019 was 231%. So this is not a significant change. The estimated Solvency II regulatory capital cover ratio was 149% at 30th of June 2020, a reduction of 10 percentage points from the end of last year. The regulatory view capital cover ratio restricts each closed fund's surplus to the value of the solvency capital requirement of that fund. As you can see, the actual level of solvency surplus at £2.5 billion has not changed significantly, with the ratio impacted by a higher solvency capital requirement in the closed funds as interest rates have fallen. The underlying capital strength of the closed funds has not changed materially. In our year-end results, we published a series of capital sensitivities to a range of market and insurance risk stresses. Our capital position has moved in line with these sensitivities over the first half of the year. In the appendix to the presentation, we have provided an update to the market sensitivities from our half-year capital position. So to conclude, Royal London has maintained service levels to our customers and advisors despite the challenges associated with COVID-19. Inevitably, this has had some impact on new business levels in the first half of the year, although we have seen growth in our protection business. Despite market volatility and economic uncertainty, we continue to see fund inflows, and our capital position remains strong. Thank you, and I would be delighted to take any questions you have. I will now hand over to the BT call coordinator to begin the Q&A session.
Thank you. So just to advise everyone, if you wish to ask a question, please key star one on your telephone and press the hash key. So that's star one and press the hash key. So just as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please key star one on your telephone. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question whilst all other lines remain on listen only. You can also withdraw questions by keying star two. So just to remind you, star one on your telephone. Thank you. There are no questions coming through at this time.
Well, in which case, I would suggest thank you everybody for listening. If you have questions going forward, you have our contact details on the release and through your existing contacts. We'd be very happy to take any in due course as you see fit.
Thank you, Daniel. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a very good day.